You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for August 20th, 2008. Security Visualization. Welcome to the program. I'm Rob Westerveld. In this edition, we'll talk to security researcher Rafi Marty about his new book, Applied Security Visualization. Marty believes graphs and charts could help manage risks and compliance mandates more effectively. Also, the news, PCI DSS version 1.2 is being released. A summary of the changes is available. Up next, a discussion about security visualization, but first, this message.
There's analysts, there's industry experts, and there's the Security Squad. In a monthly podcast series, the writers and editors of SearchSecurity.com and Information Security Magazine debate today's hot-button security issues. Everything from the demise of network access control to terrorism to the merits of compliance. No topic is out of bounds. Join the discussion. Download Security Squad and our other great podcasts today. Go to SearchSecurity.com/podcast. That's SearchSecurity.com/podcast.
And we're back. Rafi Marty is the chief security strategist at security and log analysis firm Splunk. He's taken an interest in using log data to visualize security. Rafi believes security visualization tools help security pros make more informed decisions. I met up with Rafi earlier this month at the Black Hat briefings in Las Vegas. Here's what he had to say.
So if you've looked at log files or just system events, if you want to understand what is going on your machines or on your network, a lot of people look at textual logs and you read through and you try to figure out what happened. The problem is if you have 100,000 lines of these or even more, it's really hard to figure out what happens in that data. So what you can do is you generate a picture of that represents a certain aspect of that data, and you very quickly see what is going on in there.
How does that improve network security? Explain, how they tie together.
Well, in security, we deal with a lot of data. So you have all your net flows and firewall data and IDS data and all that. And it's really hard, even just if you look at just IDS data, to understand what is happening in that data. It's really hard because there's so much of it. But if you start visualizing certain aspects of it, you might start seeing certain patterns and things that are not really obvious by just looking at the log files themselves. So it makes the analysis phase much, much easier and more efficient to do that. Another aspect is if you're sharing these logs with someone or that information, if you give them textual log data, it's really hard for the people to actually understand what's going on. It takes them a while to read them and understand them. If you give them a picture, this is much, much easier. People understand it much quicker. They're like, oh, what is this? There seems to be something weird here. And you can go and investigate from there. So it's a great tool for communicating information also.
Security visualization has been around for a while, right? This is not a brand new concept, is it?
It's not brand new, but if you look around a little bit, there's not really many people working on this. There's a couple of people in the industry that do sort of research on this and kind of try to do this. But if you look in the product space, for example, there's really no product that helps you visualizing your data that you have. There's sort of primitive approaches on certain things, but there's no tool out there that you could use and say, okay, this is really something that helps me doing a security investigation, for example. So I would say the field is very, very young, definitely younger than log management. And it needs a lot of work still. And this is sort of where what the idea was also behind my book. It's that we need to lay some basis and start somewhere. And I made it really practical and hands-on. I want to show people, look, this is how you go about taking your data and generating these graphs from them. And what types of graphs do you use in what situation? And this is something that a lot of people just don't understand. You see a lot of pie charts used and bar charts, and they don't really mean anything. They don't have any real value. And I was trying to show, look, if you have these situations, these are the graphs you use, and this is what you can see in them.
Do security pros think that way? How is it being received when you talk to them about security visualization? So, you know, it's really a different way of looking at data and actually thinking about data, too.
It is definitely a different way. People are usually getting very excited. One is because the images a lot of times just look cool, and that gets people excited. But it's also, from an analysis standpoint, it has a lot of value because, as I said earlier, it makes it much quicker to analyze some of the things. People are in the beginning a little skeptical because they're like, well, how do you generate this? This is really complicated, right? I'm like, well, it's not really. It's not that hard to take some data and make some pictures out of them. And once I show people more examples, they're like, oh, this really makes sense. This is very easy to do. And people start looking into it. And if there were actually tools out there that make this easier, I think way more people would actually do this.
What are some of the prerequisites for it? I mean, is it you probably have to know exactly what data you're going to be pulling in, what your data sources are. But what are some prerequisites?
You need to have the data, right? Without information, you can't generate information. You need to have that. Then you need to understand the entries to a certain degree. So if you look at firewall log files, you probably want to understand what data you have in there, that you have a source address and a destination address and port numbers and things. And so you need to have the domain expertise to a certain degree to really generate the graphs afterwards. You probably also need to have an understanding of what you're looking for. You can visualize all kinds of things, but you should probably have some goal in mind when you look at the data. And sometimes the goal is just to kind of figure out what is going on, like get an idea of what's in the log. It doesn't have to be, oh, I want to find whether this machine was infected, which would be a very specific use case already.
What does a visualization look like? Can you describe one?
Well, the simplest one, everyone has seen that. It's pie charts and bar charts. And a lot of times they can help you a great deal to understand the log data that you have. For example, if you're you just generate a bar chart for the user activity, so you will see that Rafi generated 10 events over the last hour, and Rob had 15, and maybe Joe had 250. So you will see that Joe is really an outlier. He has like 10 times as many activities as all the other ones. So it can help you very quickly look at certain things like that. And then it gets more complicated from there. You can go into tree maps, for example, which are a great way to condense a lot of information on a small space. You can use parallel coordinates or line graphs, or there's all kinds of different graphs that you can use.
Does it scale? I mean, if you've got a lot going on, where would you begin?
It is a little bit of a problem that if you have millions or even thousands of kind of log entries that you want to visualize, it can get tricky. You want to use some heuristics at a certain point. For example, a bar chart, if you have 1,000 different users, you have 1,000 different bars. Well, that's not going to make sense anymore. You can't read that anymore. But you're probably interested in the ones that generated the most activity. So you probably filter that down and say, well, show me only the top 10. So you will probably apply some kind of a summarization maybe, or a filtering after you generate the first graph where you see, oh, this doesn't really communicate anything. I need to filter it down or maybe cluster certain things together. And that's what I do a lot of, like, firewall log files. You don't need to know necessarily what specific IP address was connecting to me from the outside. You can cluster that by A class to start with, so get sort of a feeling what happened. And then if you want to drill in, you open up that cluster and go into the cluster and look at it more specifically. But it's, you have to use some summarization or clustering to deal with all of that.
Does it relate to compliance in any way? Talk a little bit about that, and, you know, if there's really a connection there between using this and compliance with PCI, for example, or some other regulations.
Absolutely. There's actually an entire chapter I devoted to this topic on compliance. What I mentioned in the beginning, like visualization, you can use that to communicate information. And especially in the compliance field, you have dashboards that you need to generate. You need to kind of get an overview of what's happening right now, or maybe over the last week or something. You want to maybe see trends. So you want to see a line chart that shows you the trend over the last week, the last month, the last year. So dashboards are definitely a topic that you will find in compliance, and be that for PCI, where you want to see your violations by requirement broken down, or be that for any other regulation, Sarbanes-Oxley, where you might want to visualize the traffic going to your financial server. So where does that traffic come from? And in the book, I'm actually mentioning two very specific cases of applying visualization to, one is separation of duties. There's auditors usually go in, and they, if you have an SAP, for example, you go in and you do an SOD audit, and you have to find conflicting actions that are assigned to roles. So someone shouldn't be able to generate an invoice and then also pay it. So there should be a separation in those duties. And there's this huge list that these people use. It's all textual. They go through Excel spreadsheets. They mark things, and it's a very tedious work. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You generate a graph. You see right away where the violations are. But that's one case. The other one is you deal a lot with database access. You have credit card numbers or cardholder data, or you have financial data. So all these things are usually in databases. So you need to monitor your databases very closely. And I'm showing how you can use auditing on some of the bigger databases like Oracle or MS-SQL to verify what happened on the machines or on the databases, and what has been done to them. And if you correlate that with the roles of the users that did this, you get very, very interesting insight into what was done to the database tables, and you can find violations very quickly.
Don't some of the database vendors, you know, Oracle or SQL Server, even IBM DB2, have some visualization features to them, or no, not really?
Not really. Maybe if in the management interface they have, that you see kind of the performance and maybe the volume or the sizes per, I don't know, table spaces or, and how much size is used up already. But I'm focusing more on kind of real-time event data. Like, so I want to see who accessed what table at what time, what was done to that table. Was it updated? Was it was their data inserted? Was the table altered itself? Who did that change? Was it an administrator? Was it a regular user? Was it maybe a process from another application? So these things haven't really been done yet.
You seem pretty passionate about it. Where did you start going down this route? How did you think about visualization?
It started my former employer. We came out with this feature called, I think it was called Event Graphs in there. But basically, you took some of the logs and you generated a link graph. So you see like nodes and edges connected to each other. And in the beginning, I was like, this just looks cool. So I generated graphs that just looked fun. And I used Photoshop to mock them up. And they ended up in marketing at some point. But at some point, I was like, hey, there's more to this. And I started looking into it. And no one else really looked at them. And I'm like, there is more to this. So I started looking at it. And we had a user conference coming up. I'm like, we should talk about this new feature. And they're like, yeah, you give a talk about it. And I'm like, okay. So I tried to come up with use cases. How do you use this thing to analyze logs? And that was really the first time I started thinking about it. It's probably 4 years ago at this point. I tried to see, okay, is there a certain configuration I can use to show a certain problem right away? And that has kept me busy till now. And I kind of started with firewall data, and now I'm looking at all kinds of IT data all over.
Cool. Hey, let's talk about some of the security tools that support visualization.
I guess multiple aspects to this. In the beginning, you need to collect your data somehow. And this is really where my employer also comes in, Splunk, where we collect all the IT data you have. you could just collect it in log files somewhere and then start processing those, but then you have to manage them, and it's slow to access them if you just use a grep or something on them to find something. So this is where you can use something like Splunk to manage all your data. Then you want to process the data at some point. You want to kind of parse the individual fields out. So you want to know, this is the source address, and I want to extract that from my log file. And again, there are commercial tools that can help you, like Splunk, for example, or you can write your own Unix script to do like... absolutely. And this is what I'm showing in the book a lot. It's very hands-on. Like, look, here's how you use awk or sed or something to extract the fields you need. And I built a few parsers for some log files that I use a lot, and I make them available online. If you go to secvis.org, there's a section on there where I submitted some parsers. And then once you have that data, kind of the fields extracted, then there's a ton of visualization tools out there, some pretty good ones and some not so good ones. The problem is in the open source space, you deal with different qualities of these tools. there's anything from things I've written myself, like Afterglow, which helps you kind of taking CSV files and generating link graphs from it. And that's something I use a lot because link graphs seem to be they're very expressive. You can visualize a lot of different data and find a lot of interesting things like that, or like interesting relationships and logs. I guess there's probably 25 tools that I used in the course of writing the book, and there's a section, an entire chapter about visualization tools. And we also built a live CD, a friend of mine, Jan, and myself, we built a live CD called Davix that we just launched here at Black Hat, actually, which has all these visualization tools installed from the book. They're ready to go, so you don't have to download and install libraries and have dependencies that are not working. So this is probably a very quick start if someone wants to go and play around with visualization to download that CD and start playing with it.
What's it called again? Talk a little bit more about that. This is a Linux CD that you guys are handing out.
Yeah, it's called DAVIX, D-A-V-I-X. It stands for Data Analysis and Visualization Linux. You can go to davix.secvis.org. You can download it there. There's screenshots on there and explains a little more what it is. We're also teaching a workshop at DEF CON in the afternoon where it's like hands-on. People can come in, bring their laptop. We explain a little bit of what the CD is about, what visualization is about, and then we can hand out a capture file for people to analyze and get hands-on experience in doing this. The CD has about 25 tools installed on it, like visualization tools, and then some data processing tools, so like TCP dump is on there, or NF dump, and Argus. It's just the tools you need to kind of collect the data and process it, and then visualize it in the end.
Tell me a little bit more about SecViz. That's SecViz.org.
SecViz is a portal I started a while ago where I want to just have a place where people can discuss security visualization, and you can submit a question or you write an entry about something you did, and I'm encouraging people to share their visualizations of the data they did. And a lot of people, there's a gallery where people submit graphs and things they did with security data, and it's getting more traction now, and it's kind of my goal right now to work on that a little more, get more people to submit things they do, and get more discussions going there.
You finding any surprises yet? Anything you didn't expect?
I'm surprised that there's actually a lot of people out there that are excited about it and are trying to get into this, and I hope the book is going to ease it a little bit to kind of remove some roadblocks and get people going a little quicker. I get a lot of people asking about visualization and are interested in it. I think one of the problems that people still run into, they don't have the data, they don't have access to it, they don't understand the data, they don't have the tools to process it. So I think time is going to help a lot, and we will see much more visualization, and I hope to see more on SecViz also if people submit their things there.
Cool. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, the news. The PCI Standards Council has released a summary of the upcoming changes to PCI DSS. No new requirements are in version 1.2, but the standard has been updated to clarify wireless standards and antivirus software use. The next version is due out in September. It begins to phase out the use of the WEP wireless security standard to require the more secure 802.1x standard. New implementations of WEP are not allowed after March 31, 2009. Current implementations must discontinue use of WEP after June 30, 2010. The latest version also clarifies the use of antivirus software and requires the use of antivirus software for all operating systems. PCI Council General Manager Bob Russo will join us next week for a discussion of the changes in version 1.2. Well, that does it for Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at certsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at certsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westerveld. Have a great day.